Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Clone Conspiracy podcast, where we try to explain the history of Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, and just what the hell was going on with one of the most infamous comic storylines of all time, Spider-Man's The Clone Saga. I'm your host, Scott Free. Now, it's been a bit since the last episode. It was a busy holiday season and start of 2026 for me. And if I'm being honest, it felt somewhat difficult to record given current events. If you know me or just follow me on social media, you know I'm not exactly shy when it comes to my views and my politics. I'm a lefty lawyer and an aging punk. Given the state of things, it felt hard, for lack of a better term, to justify a podcast about comic books. At the end of the day, when times are dark, it's more important than ever to find and to do things that bring you joy in your downtime. Whether that's spending time with friends and family, taking your dog for a walk, going for a long run, or, God help me, rambling about Spider-Man's clone, Ben Reilly. Comics, at their core, are political. They always have been. Anyone who says otherwise is either ignorant of the history of the medium, or being willfully obtuse. Superman started as a champion of New Deal values, busting crooked landlords and mine owners. Batman fought the crooked chemical syndicate in one of his earliest adventures. Captain America literally punches Hitler on the cover of his debut. And Spider-Man, well, Spider-Man has always stood for the little guy. The common man. And the idea that with great power comes great responsibility. That's the core of the character. Power isn't something that you use to intimidate and to force your way onto others. That's what guys like Doc Ock, the Kingpin, and most famously Norman Osborn do. They exercise power for the pure naked aggression of power. Hell, it's even more pronounced once you start to consider the context of what we're talking about, the Clone Saga. Power is something that, if you have it, you have to exercise with responsibility. Peter was Spider-Man. Ben was not. Peter was the one with the active responsibility. Ben could have stayed away. Ben could have stayed quiet. Ben could have just disappeared, stayed out west, lived a life of quiet anonymity, periodically fighting Kane, of course, but otherwise largely removed from everything. But he couldn't, because he came back and he stepped up, because like Peter, he knows from Uncle Ben that with great power comes great responsibility. So the world belongs not to the Kingpins and the Norman Osborns, it belongs to the Uncle Bens. It belongs to the good people, the Aunt Mays, the Uncle Bens. People with power have to stand up for those people. The good people. And ultimately, we all have to do our part. And that, ladies and gentlemen, and friends, is where we pick up today. With Amazing Spider-Man 394, part 2 of the Power and Responsibility arc of the Clone Saga. This is by J.M.D. Mateus, with art by Mark Bagley and Larry Malstedt. The cover, which is a personal favorite, shows a broken and battered Spider-Man, Peter, in the grip of a tall and defiant Judas Traveler in all of his 90s bangles glory, in what looks to be Ravencroft. Ben, in a gray jacket and jeans, crawls up the wall behind Judas, snarling and seeming to look as if he's ready to leap on him. It's fun. "Defeated by Traveler," yells Red Text. "And the only one who can save him is the clone, who could steal his life." So that's where we are. The issue also opens with one of my favorite sequences of the early Clone Saga. The first page is a 3-panel spread with a depressed-looking Ben Reilly on the edge of the rooftop, the Bagley art really sort of captures Ben's general air of depression and bleakness. It's worth reading some of the dialogue. Manhattan. Down below, the city glitters in the night. After all these years, the place still delights him. So many people. So much noise and energy and activity. Home, he thinks. It's so good to be home. Hands closer. Dozens of faces crowd his memory. Dozens of emotions crowd his heart. And then his heart goes cold. These aren't my memories. They're his. These feelings don't belong to me. They belong to Peter Parker. I'm just a copy. A genetic forgery. A clone. So why does he feel a sudden urge to spin a web line, take the leap, and swing out above the lights and traffic, shouting at the top of his lungs, I'm back, and nothing's ever taken me away from here again. He lets the feeling pass, then shakes his head in disgust, reminding himself that he gave up hoping long ago, made peace with who he was and who he wasn't during the hard, lonely years of wandering. He's back now, for one reason, and one reason alone. May Parker. Real memory or false, she's the only link from Peter Parker's life that he refuses to ignore. And she's dying. He should be with her now, by her bedside at Forest Hills Hospital. Let the real Parker have the streets, the crowds, the lights, the life. He belongs to the shadows. And he always will. It continues, obviously, through the next page. It's six unevenly sized panels. That dialogue goes across the two first and second pages. It gets to the core of Ben's early self-doubt and depression at this point in the Clone Saga. And the question of what it means to be, well, Ben Reilly. He's not Peter Parker. He has Peter Parker's memories. But Ben is not and is never trying to be Peter. He's trying to be his own man. Meanwhile, back in Ravencroft, Judas Traveler uses his powers, apparently, to turn Edward Whelan back into Vermin, a rat-like monster man. Vermin, for those less familiar with some of Spider-Man's more obscure villains, he's one of Jamie DeMatteis' pet characters. He's prominent in DeMatteis' run. He's essentially a were-rat, almost. He's a rat-like man. His turning into Vermin and then his redemption is one of DeMatteis' big arcs. Judas here pontificates about the nature of evil and of man, and he turns, suddenly snapping his fingers, Edward into Vermin, and then Vermin back into Edward. He then has one of his acolytes, Chakra, teleport Ed, transformed back outside of Ravencroft. It's weird, it's rambly, which is a nice thing you can say about a Judas Traveler reference. As I mentioned in our prior episode, at this point, Judas Traveler is extremely ill-defined. People behind the scenes at the editorial and the writing office didn't really know what this character's deal was. There is a sense of improvisation to a bit with Judas Traveler. He is presented here as an almost omnipotent reality warper. More akin to, say, a Legion or a Proteus, if you're familiar with X-Men. But his powers are very ill-defined. And as the Clone Saga goes on, he will be drastically redefined. But for the purposes of this point in the story, he's presented to the reader as a being of incredible, nigh incomprehensible power. Then cut to Peter, who begins to run through Ravencroft past his old incarcerated enemies. We see Chameleon and most notably Carnage. Each of them is confused, dealing with their own inner fear and anger. Judas Traveler, in taking over Ravencroft, is seemingly in the minds of most of the inmates, projecting their fears and trying to get a view of what is evil. That is his whole deal, is being the expert on the psychology of evil. It's a cracked mirror view of Spider-Man himself. As Peter runs through Ravencroft, you get old Judy's narration, which runs through the scene. The beasts, the demons, the mirror, alone. Gazing into the shattered mirror of self, with no one to help you, no soul to love you. This then smash cuts to MJ at LaGuardia, being seen off by Aunt Anna. She's boarding a plane to Pittsburgh to visit family. Peter is all alone, and the scene, which is part of the larger ongoing arc between Peter and MJ having tensions in their marriage, is really supposed to hammer home that Peter at this point is alone. But that's Peter's story, and quite frankly, this isn't about him. I mean, obviously, this is a comic title, Amazing Spider-Man, so it is about Spider-Man. But for us, this is about Ben. And Ben, meanwhile, has returned to the hospital. Forest Hills Hospital, to be precise. It's still the same night, and Ben is peering out at the moon, standing in May's window. You see it's a 7-panel spread. It opens with the plane that MJ has just boarded, taking off and going across the sky, which then pans out, and we see Ben peering out. And again, the text here is worth reading just to get the sum of Ben's inner psychology at this point. He turns and peers at a comatose May. He's worried about everything. What will happen if she dies? What kind of condition will she be in if she lives? Are her doctors good enough? Are there specialists that should be called in? He knows he shouldn't care, that he has no right to care. But how can he not? Maybe it was a life he never truly lived, a family he never truly had. But the memories of May Parker are there, nonetheless, and they're the ones he holds most dear. Tear goes down Ben's face, and he leans in to kiss May on the forehead. Weeping, he grasps her hand. She may not know him, but he knows her, loves her, to the bottom of his soul. A doctor steps in. Mr. Parker? He hears the name, and he doesn't know whether to rejoice or run. I'm Dr. Caputo. His thoughts race frantically. Does the real Peter Parker know this woman? What should he do? How should he act? Doctor says, I don't mean to intrude, Mr. Parker, but from all your wife has told me about you, I feel as if we've already met. And frankly, you look like you could use a friend. Doctor, Ben says, smiling, you don't know the half of it. And then we cut back to Peter, who proceeds to get his ass kicked by Judy Traveler for about 4 pages, screaming at him, I'm not some joke. I'm not some laboratory experiment. I'm a man. He gets a couple good kicks and punches to the face in on Traveler, but they don't seem to have any effect on this man, who again, as far as we know, is a being of unimaginable power. That you are utterly broken man. Peter then falls down, mentally pushed to the edge by Traveler, and utterly breaks down, crying. Scryer, part of Judas Traveler's cabal, freaks that travel with him, like Chakra, Stenacht, appears. But now, Judas, asks Scryer, the inmates die, as you promised. Soon, perhaps, but not just yet, says Traveler. Our little experiment isn't quite over. See, Scryer, my old dear friend. When I looked into his mind, I discovered, there's a pause, and Traveler smirks again, that there's another one. Then, suddenly, back at the hospital, we see Ben, who jerks upright in a chair and you see the illustration for his spider sense going off. It's going wild. So he looks up and seemingly looks around for what the threat is. Suddenly, Chakra appears. Chakra, I haven't really discussed her in depth yet, because at this point we don't know a lot about her. She can teleport. She can teleport herself, she can teleport people, she can astral project as well. She's one of the more prominent members of Judas Traveler's Cabal, so you do see her quite a bit. Chakra appears in her astral form in the hospital. I am Chakra, and I bring you a message, a choice, from the Traveler. How did you, says Ben, say nothing, ask nothing, just listen, and consider. Your double, your rival, will die by my master's hand within the hour, says Chakra. Let Spider-Man die, and you can have the life, the identity, you have dreamed of, hungered for during your long years of exile. Or come with me to Ravencroft and risk your own life to save the one man in all the world whose death would set you free. And the issue then ends with an image of a bound Peter on the floor in Ravencroft screaming, ah, and then a box that teases the clone's decision and Spidey's fate as power and responsibility continues in the pages of Spider-Man 51. This is one of my favorite issues of the early part of the Clone Saga for these really dramatic, introspective sequences that we get with Ben. We get a lot of Ben's inner thoughts and introspection for really the first time in the Clone Saga at this point. This is a man who is very conflicted about who he is, what he is, who he wants to be. And at the end of this issue, after the rooftop monologue and monologuing in May's hospital room about, is he entitled to this? Is he entitled to even be there for May, the closest thing that he has to a mother or memories of as well? Is he even entitled to be there? He's then presented with this stark choice by Chakra, which is, you can stay here and do nothing. Peter will die, and then you can inherit the role of Peter Parker. You can inherit the role of Spider-Man. You can inherit this man, your double's life. Or you can come with me to Ravencroft and try to save him and step up. Be heroic. And this is Judas's test. And we're going to see, coming up soon, Ben running Judas Traveler's Gauntlet through Ravencroft. And he faces some choices. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is it for this episode of The Clone Conspiracy. We started off on a heavy note, and I just want you all to be kind to one another and take care of yourselves. And remember, great power, great responsibility. We'll see you next time.